Today on Real Life Radio.
Whatever your life situation is, God has promised to be there. And how does He do that? He does that through His Word. And His Word will benefit the whole of who we are.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, People God Can Use, Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, who was a physician, could do. Here as we continue in chapter 6, Luke tells us that God uses people that Jesus calls to come to Him, and they respond to His voice with the desire to do His will. You see, just as Jesus responds to the Father, we are to respond to Him, to have enough faith to put God first in our lives. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus brings to us the kingdom of God, not through observation, but through the Holy Spirit now living inside of us. Now in his message called People God Can Use, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This morning in Luke chapter 6, we are really in part 2 of our message that is entitled People God Can Use, and we are looking at verses 12 to 26. And last time we got right into the first point of the message. And the first point of that message in Luke chapter 6, as Jesus, as you saw in the clip a moment ago, is gathering his apostles together out of the mass or the bulk of the disciples. For the Bible tells us there were many, many disciples following Jesus. But out of the disciples, he called his apostles. And having done that, he is not only going to get them ready to being used by God, but he's going to show them and teach them firsthand, hands-on experience, what it's like to be a servant of God. And I think this is a very exciting thing because if you really love the Lord and if you really love the fact that God's Word has made you and I some great and precious promises, and it has, then you and I can no longer exist and be satisfied in this life without telling other people. When you love something, maybe you own something. It's something dear to you. It's exciting. It's wonderful. It's whatever. You got to tell people. You want to tell people about that. You want to share it. And so there could be nothing more great and more wonderful than to share the love of God with other people. But listen, when you share the love of God and what that love cost God to be sent to us, sent among us, then it also demands of us commitment. It demands of us a whole heart, a total heart. God is committed to you. But listen, he also asks that if you accept him as Savior, it also means that you accept him as Lord. And that is, you're saying, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. But also, Lord, because that's true, I love you. And Lord, be my Lord. Lead me, guide me in this life. Nobody has any appetite or stomach for some sort of a recreational religion. God speaks to us and says, I love you. I've saved you from hell. I'm taking you to heaven. And I would think that God would also announce, perhaps he already has in different words, bring as many men and women and boys and girls with you as possible. For the Bible says Jesus died for the sins of the world. And that means everyone is available to come. The people that God uses, we saw in our study last time, was point number one. And that is that the people that God uses are a people that Jesus calls to come to him. Jesus called them. We looked at our study last time together. And he, in calling them, called them out of the crowd. Follow along with me. And by way of recap, we'll read these verses again. Luke chapter 6, beginning now again in verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he called apostles, Simon, whom he also called Peter, Andrew, his brother, and James and John, and Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Verse 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place, flat ground, with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all the regions of Judea, Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented by unclean spirits or demons, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, and he healed them all. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort or consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. And woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Strong words. There's no doubt about it. With what Jesus speaks this morning, we'll divide the group. He's speaking to a vast crowd of people, and they could have been coming after him for any reason. It could have been, come on, nothing's changed that way. It could have been because people have invited him to come and hear Jesus. Maybe they said, come and hear him. You've never heard, you know, a man like this, and you've heard rumors about him, but come and listen yourself. Maybe people came because they were hungry. Maybe people came because they needed a healing for this or for that. Maybe they were curious. Maybe some people, we know here from the scripture, that they were even demon-possessed. Isn't it bizarre that they came for some reason? A demon-possessed person came and followed Jesus too. Could that have been the human factor, crying out, knowing in their insanity that they need help, but they're not sure? And from time to time, as that demon would rear up and captivate this person, could have been in a moment of somewhat normal thought process that I need to get near Jesus. I had somebody absolutely demon-possessed come and say to me, I'm in great trouble, I need help. And as I began to open the Bible and speak, that's when I found out they were possessed. And I mean, I don't need to go into detail, but you would have had no doubt about it. Hollywood ain't got nothing up on the reality of it. In this moment, there's a crowd gathered, and Jesus now has picked out of the crowd 12. Do you remember last time in the opening parts of this message, we saw how that happened? Number one, we saw this in verses 12 to 16, that Jesus called those to be his out from the crowd. And we saw three key things about that. Number one was in verse 12, that when the people that Jesus called out who can be used by him, he called them to come, is that this. Verse 12, we learned that it's Jesus' response to his Father's voice. He goes and prays, and his Father speaks to him. And by the way, you know this now. He was praying all night long before he made such an important selection. It was Jesus' response to his Father's voice. Number two, we learned that it was Jesus' desire to do his Father's will. It was the will of Jesus to do his Father's will. That's a great, great insight into the very heart of Jesus. And then thirdly, it was Jesus' work to build his Father's kingdom. That was his joy. There in verses 14 to 16, in the building of his kingdom, Jesus prays, gets the word from his Father, calls out the apostles from the group of disciples, and names them. And their names are recorded in the Bible. And we looked at that in our first study, in part one of this message. We looked at the details regarding those very important aspects of those verses. Now we pick it up this morning where we left off. The people that God can use. It is found in verses 17 to 19, and it is this. The people that God can use are a people that Jesus counsels. Jot that down if you would. The people that God can use are a people that Jesus can counsel or give word to, give his insight from the word of God to. You say, but Jack, Jesus is gone. He ascended 2,000 years ago back to heaven. Yes, that's true. But he speaks to us out of his word, and we're going to see how in a moment. By the way, before we get into this, do you guys remember show and tell in school? Anybody? Do they still do that anymore? Show and tell was not that good of a thing unless you had something to show and tell. But if you had something, wasn't it great? Wasn't it fantastic? Because you brought to class that thing that you're excited about. I mean, you're not going to take something to class that your sister gave you. You're not excited about that. But if it was something, I remember I had this glass jar full of salt water and there was an oyster in it. And it had a pearl. It's halfway open up and you see a pearl in there. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And I just remembered that thing. And so when you show it, you tell all about it. You get all excited. Jesus has got his disciples together. All the great crowd of disciples are there. The apostles are right here now. They're kind of off to the side. He's called them away. They're there. And he says, okay, I'm going to teach and I'm going to do miracles. You guys watch, show and tell. I'm going to do it. I've talked about it. You pick it up and you learn this. And I think he would say the same thing to us today as Christians. You know what? I need to get this thing down. Jesus, what is it you'd have me to do? So first thing I want you to see is that you must be open to what God is saying. Number one is this, and I want you to be thinking about this, that we are a people that he wants to counsel. And so verse 17 says his counsel really glorifies the word of God. Verse 17 tells us that his counsel glorifies the word of God. It says that when he came down, listen, from the mountain, he came down with them and stood on a level place. Look to the screens if you would. This is a photograph that we took. This is the northern region of the Sea of Galilee. To my back, it slopes upward toward the mountains. Mount Hermon is behind me, snow-capped mountain that it is. The Sea of Galilee. This is a current picture, by the way. This is not old or enhanced. This is how it is today. Now you see why we love to go there. And it's in an area like this. When Jesus would have come down from your left to your right, Jesus would have stopped on a flat area, a bench or a tabletop in the topography. This is one of those spots. It's very possible that it's this spot, it's certainly a spot like this that Jesus would have stopped at to give this teaching that's in front of your lap right now, on your lap, in front of your eyes. And the beautiful thing about this is, look how nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Isn't that great? By the way, you're at this level, you're about 700 feet below sea level right here. Which, can you guys back up or go forward? I don't remember which one it was. There's another shot that we have of this location. And this is a little bit toward the summer, late spring. And you see way in the distance, in fact, people, I'm spending too much time on this, but it's fun. Do you see that hill way in the middle? There's three hills kind of in the canyon in the middle. That's where Simon the Zealot lived. That is the canyon that leads up to Nazareth. You see that looks like a volcano top? That's where Nazareth is at. And you see the mountain to the left? That's Mount Arbel. There's caves in there. That's where the Zealots hung out. They were trying to overthrow the Roman Empire's rule in the northern regions up there in Galilee. It's that hilltop right there on this last trip to Israel that we got together, those of us who woke up at 4 a.m. We went up to the top there and we watched the sun come up as we sang praises and prayed, because to the left, the sun rises up over the Sea of Galilee. Now, what I'm sure wasn't there when Jesus taught was, you see that big dark green area, that beautiful lush area? You know what those are? Those are bananas. Israel grows bananas for much of Europe. And anyway, that's a great big banana field right there. But Jesus would have been speaking and teaching in a setting that you see right here. Very interesting. But mark this down if you would. Verse 17 teaches us that Jesus' counsel will glorify the word of God. When he speaks, God will be glorified. By the way, when you and I speak as Christians, God should be glorified. What's coming out of your mouth? Jesus said is what's coming out of your heart. It should be glorifying to God. When he came down, he stood there on the level place, and the crowd was gathered to him there of disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea, Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, from the area of Lebanon today. Tyre and Sidon, the seacoast of the Mediterranean, beautiful area. What is so important about this and the counsel that Jesus is giving? His counsel is to glorify the word of God. Why is that important? Church, whenever God speaks to you, he will speak to you from the Bible, using the word of God. Jesus said that when he ascended, that all that he had taught the disciples, listen, all that he had spoken to them, all that he had shared with them, that they would be reminded of those words, because the Holy Spirit will come and bring all that I've spoken to you to remembrance. God uses the Word of God. When God speaks, how do I know that it's God speaking? Because when I hear God speak, now I don't know about you, you might be different. I've had a friend that said it was different for him. But when God speaks to me, I hear my tone of voice in my head. But it is the sentence or the statement or the insight is so not Jack that I know it's God. And not only that, but what he shares, I can confirm it dead on the money in the Word, the Bible. Are you with me? That's how I know God is speaking, when what he shares to my heart using the Word of God. You know, people say, I've never heard God speak. Well, you know what? You ought to read the Bible more and you'll hear him speak. More Bible, the more the Holy Spirit has to work with in your life. And so he will bring that to your remembrance. And his counsel will glorify God, glorify the Word of God. Jesus said in another place in John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Why? Because he's speaking the words of the Father. John 8:26, Jesus spoke and he says, I speak to you the word, or I speak to the world those things which I heard my Father speak. What did Jesus say? That which the Father told him to say. What would the Father say if he came to speak? Answer, listen to Jesus. How do I listen to Jesus? Look to the Word of God, the Bible, and read it. John 12:50 says, and I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Isn't that great? I love that. So the people of God are the people that God can use, and they will be used under the power and under the influence of the Bible. You know, people will say in church movements or church denominations, let's build this church, let's build it like this or build it like that, and they will come. Not true. That is not true. You don't build a building and then hope people come. That's how you get bankrupt or go into debt. What you do is you preach the Word of God. That's what people respond to. And when you teach the Word, then you'll have to build a place for them to get into, because the Word is drawing them. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they what? Yeah, they know me and they follow me. And so the Word is given out. The Holy Spirit will exalt the Bible in the hearing of not only the Christian, but the world for that matter. And so also this, mark it down, verses 17 to 18, is that his counsel benefits man, or his counsel benefits the whole of man. When I say the whole, I mean man in totality, the all of who we are. It says in verse 17 and 18, these people came to hear him. Will you mark that down? They came for two reasons, to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Look at this, it goes on. Those diseases could manifest in all kinds of interesting ways. But note this, verse 18, as well as those who were tormented with demon or unclean spirits, and he healed them. This is powerful. When Jesus Christ gives out his word, church, listen up. When you and I as Christians open up the Bible, it should, what we do, have the power, because it is faithful to the Bible, it should have the power to benefit all people. See, what do you mean by that? Well, if we give the full counsel of God, as the Bible says, to teach the full counsel, when the word is taught, it should help you in your area of worry. Are you worrying? The Bible should address that. And it does. And it's incumbent upon you to take those promises of God and find rest. Are you sick? The word of God speaks to you about healing. To call for the elders of the church or even friends and family to come and anoint you with oil and pray for you. What if God doesn't heal me? Oh, the Bible answers that too. He will give you his word, and his word will comfort you. Bring you comfort. Whatever your life situation is, God has promised to be there. And how does he do that? He does that through his word. And his word will benefit the whole of who we are. In 1 Thessalonians, this is the reason why it's so. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prayed to the church at Thessalonica. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, that has set you apart from the world completely, And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless into the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? By the way, that's the work of God. Isn't that exciting? Are you going to make it into the end? Yes, if the Spirit of God is at work within you. That's His job. The Holy Spirit is to see you through all the way to the end of either your life or when the Lord comes for us. But Paul prays that prayer to the Thessalonian church that God would sanctify them completely, body, soul, and spirit. The Bible teaches that man is a trichotomy. We are built up of obviously the physical. This is what we lug around and have to put cologne on or perfume and keep it from stinking and from rotting. We have to dress it up. That's our body. And then there's our soul, psuche, in the mind, our emotions. God says, I want to sanctify you completely in that area too. But He goes beyond that, not only the body, dedicating our body to God's service as He's calling His apostles to serve Him, but the mind needs to be renewed daily, the Bible says. But thirdly, also the very spirit of who we are. Jesus said, you must be born again. That's renewing of the spirit, creating us afresh in a new creation, body, soul, and spirit. So when God's word goes out, it will benefit the totality of who we are. And that's a very wonderful truth. John 17, 17 says in his high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed, he prays to his Father and he says, Father, sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth. The Bible. Ephesians 5, 26. Paul the Apostle says that he might sanctify you and cleanse you with the washing of the water of the Word. That is the Word of God, the Bible. So that is a very important thing. Listen, church, I love this. When I get down, when I'm, and I don't even know why I allow myself to get to this point. Follow along with me if you can. I'll get busy running around doing the stuff I'm doing and all the stuff that comes with ministry and just life. And you know that little, is it the Duracell battery bunny or Ever-Ready battery bunny? You know when it starts to get kind of... We do that in our spiritual life. Oh man, you know, we're so busy and praise the Lord. And even in Christian service, man, one of the quickest ways to get drained is to give out spiritually. Because it involves tons of emotion. It involves things deeper than this earthly plane. And so what happens is that the temptation and the tendency is to get tired easily. What really needs to happen is to have a continuous link to the strength of God from heaven above. Amen. That's how we are able to serve as Christians one another without becoming like that little bunny and then falling over because we're tired. The Bible says, do not become weary at well-doing. Why does it say that? Because we have a temptation to become weary at well-doing. See, the truth of the matter is, when I go to the Word of God, and you guys, I'm not talking about preparing a Bible study. I have to prepare a Bible study, and then there's what God says about my private time. Jack, now I forget all that stuff, Jack. I want to talk to you alone, just you and I together. And if I don't do that, I will suffer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called People God Can Use, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, the Gospel of Luke, this series, is a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Now, imagine what could happen to your spiritual life when you make devotions a part of it. Now, a special time with the Lord to both talk to Him and listen to Him is a great thing. To read a verse from Scripture, let God know what it means to you. And Pastor Jack understands the importance of devotions. And it's why he shares personal experiences in a devotion-type setting at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a brand new devotion each week. You can also subscribe to his devotional list for daily reading. And if you are blessed by Pastor Jack's devotions, which I'm going to say you probably will be, there's a way for you to email him and let him know all about it. Tell him about it. You can do it directly. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.